Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Thrivers, my name is Heather Choate. I am the co-owner and co-founder of Pi Thrive Coaching, and I'm excited to come with you today with a live Q&A. Can my marriage be saved? If you are wondering if your marriage can turn around, even if it's on the verge of divorce, leave a comment right now and say me, and I'll make sure I send you some guides and resources that we put together on exactly how you can do that. Here at High Thrive Coaching, we've helped save over 15,000 marriages. And one of the biggest questions I get is, will this work for me? Is it possible to turn my marriage around? Is it too little too late? So as I'm here with you guys live, make sure you drop a question right now into the chat and let me know if you're wondering if you can save your marriage, what your situation is, what you've already done to try and turn things around, why or why not that may have worked or not worked, and if you are committed to having a healthy, thriving marriage with your spouse. So I will be watching the chat for all of your questions. And if you're watching the replay, make sure you comment as well, because we respond to every single comment that we get. And we often have free guides, resources, other episodes that can help you move your relationship forward. Before I get to that though, I'm going to share a client win of the week. And this is from one of our students that went through our PATH course. And she said, PATH helped me to save my marriage. So I'm trying to keep working on it. Your programs and videos were the reason I saved my marriage. And so I'm excited to share with you guys that exact process that we have developed after working with so many thousands of students with this PATH process to save your marriage. Awesome. So make sure you guys drop your comments, because I'm going to be keeping an eye on the chat and navigating all my different screens here to make sure I don't miss you guys. So let me know if you can see and hear me okay. I did get some submissions that we had asked you guys to send. And so just to launch this live Q&A here, I'm going to go to a question we got from V. And V says, we've been together for 16 years. 3 children. And for the past 5 years, he's turned into a completely different person. Let me know in the comments, do you feel like your spouse is a completely different person? Are they doing things and saying things that they may have never done or said before? If so, you're not alone. So leave a comment. Are they a different person? So she says, cheating, lying, defensive, accusing me of everything under the sun. But turns out everything he's been doing. He seems apologetic, but ends up doing it again and again. I love him and want so much to work it out with him, but I don't know if I can truly forgive him. She goes on, his mother is very controlling and manipulative. And his mother even filed fraudulent charges on me, and I was even arrested and detained for 4 months for the first time in my life. And he still allows her in his life. I haven't spoken to him in a few months, but I can't seem to move on. And I'm not sure if it's because I miss the chaos I've grown accustomed to, or because I truly want my marriage to be saved. I just basically want to know if relationship can be, or even should be continued once it goes toxic. Can it be cured? So numerous levels of questions here. And I love that you talk about that you're not sure if you are feeling like you can't move on because you miss the chaos that you've grown accustomed to, or because you truly want your marriage to be saved. So that is a great clarity question for you to get, because sometimes we do become accustomed to dysfunction, right? It's like we become functional somewhat with dysfunction. I've experienced that in my own marriage of 18 years. Not that it's to this exact extent, but when things aren't very healthy, but it's all you've ever really known, then you just wonder, is that as good as it really gets? And maybe I should just go with it, right? Because I don't want to be alone. So we just kind of settle, right? Or sometimes we're just used to it and we don't know that our relationships could be any different than what they are. So do you want to go back to chaos and dysfunction and living in what we call the drama triangle? So if you want our episode on the drama triangle, talking about all the tension that creates when you're playing in one of those roles of the persecutor, the victim, or the hero, then leave a comment and say drama triangle and we'll make sure that you get it, because that episode should not be missed. All right. Because we get so caught up in that cycle of tension and dysfunction and sometimes even toxicity, again, we might not even realize that that's what's really going on, or we maybe actually become addicted to those heightened emotions and to all of the drama. So you want to get that clarity. Is that what you're really wanting? I'm assuming not, because you wouldn't be here asking, can I save it? Can we heal? Can a toxic marriage be cured? And the answer is yes. If you're wanting to cure it, it can be cured. In fact, I would say that anyone that has been in these kind of really toxic, negative cycles needs to understand how to break them. Because even if the relationship ends with this person, if you don't learn what contributed and created those toxic cycles and patterns, then they will most likely continue even in the next relationship. Even if this relationship doesn't turn around, we often see this, right? You've seen this with your friends, you've seen it with your family members, that they'll go from one broken, unhealthy relationship right into the honeymoon phase, and then right into the next broken, unhealthy relationship. And they often think that just changing the partner is going to change the problem, but it doesn't. So that is why we help you to uncover what those unhealthy cycles are that are creating that level of dysfunction or toxicity, and to replace them, to create new, healthier patterns between you that are going to change everything for your relationships going forward. Learning how to get out of this drama triangle for me and to identify, oh, when I feel triggered to go back there, it happened just this morning. I felt triggered to be a bit of a victim. I felt triggered to be a bit of a persecutor. And then I went right into, well, I need a hero and rescue it. I realized, oh no, that is not the place that I want to play in, because it only creates more of this tension and issues are never really resolved. So what I'm hoping to get at here, and I hope this is coming across clearly, is that you want to identify the patterns that you're in and create those new healthy patterns, and to learn how to get out of the drama triangle to become a creator in your relationship. One of the first things to do as you're looking at this process, you're like, can it be cured? Can it be healed? Yes. I'm going to share with you how. First is accountability. You need to take accountability for your part in the situation. We cannot move forward until we're ready to take 100% responsibility for the things that are our responsibility. And that does not mean that you should adopt your partner's choices or blame yourself for things that aren't yours to be blamed for. Okay, so it's really identifying, like, here, this is what I'm responsible for. This is how I contributed to this situation. And not to blame yourself for everything that your partner did. Okay, want to make sure that that's very, very clear. And then when you can say, yeah, I did contribute it in this way, maybe I got very defensive and I blew up, right? Maybe I was distrusting. And then, and because I was so distrusting because of my own triggers, my own past emotional trauma or wounds, that may have fed into his cheating, or not taking responsibility for his cheating, but saying, yeah, I can see that my own triggers, my own fears, my own distrust did not create a healthy, safe environment, right? And you can look at the different things that you did that contributed to the situation and the pattern. As you take accountability and responsibility, then you can say, okay, now let's become creative. What are the solutions that we're really wanting? What are we wanting to create? We are powerful creators, every single one of us. You are the only one that gets to decide who you get to be in this life and what you create, the kind of relationships that you have and that you experience. And so if they're not ones that you want to see right now, then decide, what kind of relationship do you want to have? Where do you want to go? What kind of relationship do you want to have the next 5, 10, 30 years of your life? And who do you really want to be? How do you want to look back at this time in your life, at the end of your life? Because these challenges that come to you have come for a reason. And it may be the worst thing you've ever gone through, but at the same time, it's come to teach you something, to help you become a better version of yourself, to grow and to overcome these challenges. And if you choose not to, then they tend to repeat themselves, right? Again, I talked about those same cycles tend to repeat themselves. If it's not in this relationship with this person, it will most likely show up in a different situation, maybe even with your kids, maybe even with friends or other family members, or maybe even with another romantic relationship. But life will continue to present these opportunities through these challenges to help you grow and overcome. So how can you be a creator here? Decide what you really want. Decide who you really want to be and how can you learn from these challenges? Let's go back to that question of how do you want to look back at this time at the end of your life? Leave a comment and let me know, like declare it, say it now. Do you want to look back with peace of mind, knowing that you became a better person, that you became stronger because of these things? Or do you want to look back with regret that you didn't learn, that you didn't grow, that you let these challenges kind of defeat you, and maybe you even became a smaller, more broken version of yourself, right? So make that decision and decide to be a creator in it. Then when you know where you want to go, you have clarity on who you want to be and the kind of relationship you want to experience, then you can move into collaboration. And this is when you can say, this is where we want to go. We decide that we have these common goals and how can we work together as a team to get there? All right. And that's when we create community. And that pulls us out of the drama triangle through accountability, creativity, collaboration, and community. Now we're no longer feeling like a victim. We're no longer feeling like we have to enforce our will on anyone. We're no longer feeling we have to save the day and make it right for everyone else. We are now in our stewardship as a human being over our own lives and our very sacred relationships. And learning that process to me is worth everything because it changes everything. It frees us from the pains and the chains of the past and allows us to be who we're really meant to be. So let's go back to your situation here. You've got this, you know, this challenging situation where your partner is acting like a totally different person. And I want to visit that for a minute because this is something that's so, so common. In fact, I see some comments here that are saying, yeah, my wife is a totally different person. I was totally blindsided. They're not acting like the person that I married. And I get this a lot. And so what happens is your spouse often is going through something and it may be related to you and it may not. It may be something that is triggered from their past pain, their trauma. It may be a midlife crisis. It may be an identity crisis. It may be a mental or an emotional issue. And what happens is sometimes our spouse can get so worked up in this negative story that they've created about us and this negative belief that they have about their relationship and often even about themselves. And this story that they've created, we call this the narrative. It's there to serve them to a certain degree, either to protect them from pain, because maybe they felt hurt in the past. And so this is a defense mechanism that they've created to help protect themselves from further pain. Or it is a way to not feel so much shame. So it's a little bit of an out. They know that what they're doing is very painful and very destructive or very unhealthy. And they might feel some shame or embarrassment or guilt about that. And so this helps to lessen the guilt because it puts it back on you, kind of does the deflection thing, right? That's often what a victim will do is they'll say, it's not about me. You caused me to feel this way and it's actually all your fault, right? So again, we're playing back in the drama triangle here. And so your spouse is going through this And they create this negative story and this negative belief to protect them from pain or so that they don't have to feel so much shame or guilt about what they're doing. And because this has been developed for weeks, months, often even years, sometimes decades, they become addicted to this idea that this is true about you and that this is true about the marriage and that the choices that they're making are the choices that they have to make or they need to make or they want to make. And they become addicted to the idea of divorce. I'll be happier if I get divorced. I'll be happier if I go be with my affair partner. And they become so addicted to this that they tend to lose a bit of touch with reality. And just like an addiction to a drug or to alcoholism, they don't see things clearly for what they really are. And more often than not, you, as the person wanting to work on the marriage and the person wanting to overcome these issues and to heal from this toxicity and this dysfunction, you are actually more emotionally sober right now. And just like if your daughter or your son had a drug addiction and you told them and you're like, hey, you should just stop doing drugs. It's not healthy for you. It's destructive. Can't you see that this is toxic and really negative in your life and it's affecting all these other people? They're going to say, no, I don't want to. I like what I'm doing, right? And if they say, no, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to change, AKA, I don't want to let go of divorce. I don't want to let go of my affair partner, right? I'm addicted to this idea. Then are you just going to give up if your kid says, no, I'm not going to stop drugs? Do you just say, oh, that's it. That's the end. And that's all you do? No. If you love your son and daughter and they're addicted to drugs, then you're going to do everything you can to help them, to get them the support to overcome that addiction. And the same is true here. But so often, because we've created this idea that if our spouse says, I'm not willing to work on the marriage, I want a divorce, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, I don't want to work on the marriage, we just take that as the end all be all, right? And we listen to the addict instead of the voice of reason here, right? So I'm trying to be the voice of reason and saying, you don't let an addict decide if there's hope to turn the situation around for the addict. You have to be the one that's saying, I'm willing to get this some help and some support and some external professional guidance to get to a healthy place here, a place that feels good and secure to everyone. So there's a couple different layers here that you talked about. This person is, you know, your spouse is acting like a different person. We've got cheating, we've got lying, we got defensiveness, right? And that you're saying these are actually the things that he's doing. And that's very common. We see this like deflection, right? If they're realizing that they're like subconsciously, not even consciously, that they're doing all these things, they're often going to blame you for the very things that they're doing. That's called deflection. I'm going to take what I'm doing and I'm going to put it on you, right? And I might even blame you or accuse you of doing the very things that I'm doing, okay? And then sometimes you say he seems apologetic, but then ends up doing it again and again. Does that sound a little bit like an addict, right? Even at some level, they may realize that this is not a healthy or good thing to be doing, but they can't stop. And that is an indication to you that you are the one that's a little more emotionally sober here and that they need some help. All right. Now, that doesn't mean that you let them continue doing these things. Of course not. You need to get to a healthy and whole place yourself and make sure that you are protected even as you go through this situation. You also talked about a situation with the mother-in-law. Definitely need to have healthy boundaries there. And that he is very controlled and manipulated by her, and he continues to allow her in his life. And that, again, is another indication of drama triangle and addiction to the drama triangle, addiction to being controlled and manipulated. Okay. And so there are things that you can do that are going to lessen that control that she has on him. And that can also work for an affair partner or any other toxic person in your life. Is learning how to set those healthy boundaries so it gets their attention and helps them wake up and realize that there's a healthier way of doing things. It never feels good to be the victim, persecutor, or even the hero, because the hero eventually gets burnt out and then goes to be a victim or a persecutor, right? And they're trying to save the day all the time and you just can't do that because you're trying to have control where you actually don't have control. So yes, this toxicity and this drama triangle, this manipulative behavior, this dysfunction, this addiction to the lying, the defensiveness, the accusations and the cheating, these can all very much be overcome. The thing that I am a little bit concerned about, though, just being completely transparent, is that you're living separated. You're not currently talking to each other. And it seems, let's see, let me look real quick. I want to make sure I got it right. So it really is helpful to know how much you are communicating right now and how often you have the ability to interact in person. That is one of the indicators that we look at when we do the marriage assessment with you, because you have to have some level of communication in order to turn things around. So let me know how often you are communicating. And if you're going through some similar situation, then let me know that as well, because that's going to give a lot of clarity on how successfully this can be turned around. All right, I'm going to go to some of the questions now I'm getting in the chat. Awesome. Daniel says, want to be stronger. Love that. So you want to look back at this time and know that you became stronger because of it. That's beautiful. All right. Cody says, my wife had an emotional affair, but instead of working on it, she said she wanted a separation. We have been separated for 5 weeks and hardly talk. Don't know how to get back to communicating. So hopefully start healing and working on our relationship. What do you suggest? Okay. So what I'm gathering from this is that there's probably a lot of shame on her side because she started this emotional affair. And then instead of working on it, she wanted separation. And sometimes I'm making an assumption here. Okay. Cause I don't know fully the situation, but let me know if this sounds about right. You can let me know in the chat. They feel like they don't know how to come back from what they did. And sometimes they want to come back, but they know they caused so much pain and so much hurt that they don't even know how to start. And so they just kind of run away from it, right? We all go into fight, flight, or freeze mode when there's been these emotional traumas. And when she's doing something like acting like a different person, doing something she's never done before, she probably feels a little out of control and even more insecure with herself and insecure in the relationship. And so sometimes we go into fight where we can get into arguments or even fighting to work on our marriage, right? We can go into freeze mode where we end up doing nothing and then flee, where they just pull away, right? To try to create safety. And so with that going on, how often are you communicating right now? You say you hardly talk. Are you able to talk about the relationship? Are you able to talk about kids if you have them? And how often are you communicating? Is it every day, every week, every couple months? You said you've been separated for 5 weeks, so I'm assuming it hasn't been months, but sometimes we hear people are like, we haven't talked for several years. So I want to make sure I get clarity on that. All right, in the chat, you say exactly. She just keeps saying, I don't know, over and over. So when you're saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, she has a lot of confusion and insecurity in her mind. And sometimes you might see what we call like the teeter-totter effect. And if you're not there yet, then that means you're not at that stage, but this is where they get hot and cold, hot and cold. Maybe they're warm and then they pull away. They might be willing to talk and then they suddenly shut everything down. And that means that they're being pulled, right? Emotionally. And that is actually an amazing opportunity to get things moving towards you. So in our path process, one of the first things that we want to do here, Cody and everyone listening, is to get that communication open and have them stop pulling further away. So you've been separated for 5 weeks. You're not talking very often. What you want to make sure you're not doing are any of the push methods, right? We call this our push versus pull. And pushing is going to be demanding that she talks to you, demanding she goes to therapy, demanding she work on things with you, any kind of manipulation, using the kids to get at her, making threats that you'll go have an affair, even pretending that someone's interested in you to try to get her see what she's missing, any of those kind of manipulative efforts. They could be very obvious. They might be also more subtle, or any of the begging, pleading, desperation, texting all the time, sending her gifts, all of these like sometimes over the top efforts, even if they seem positive, can actually backfire. And then freezing and doing nothing out of fear is the last one. And all of those are only going to push her further away because they're not going to feel safe. So what we want to do is pull your spouse to you, right? Like a magnet, and make things feel safe. She'll hit that pause button and no longer feel like the need to pull further away from you. And how we help her hit the pause button is by taking the pressure off. We don't want to put any of the pressure on her to work on the marriage, to talk about things, right? Any of those efforts are going to backfire. So you actually want to take the pressure off of her, off of the relationship, and even off yourself. And that seems a little counterintuitive because you want this person to come back to you. One of the most important things to understand here, though, is that when you are begging, pleading, acting out of desperation, demanding that they work on things and freezing, where is all of that energy focused on? Is it really focused on her? Or who is it really focused on? Right. It's focused on you. And that's normal and it's natural. And I don't want you to think that you're like a bad person or like super selfish, because we all do this. When there's an emotional trauma, there's a biological process that happens inside of our brain. Our brain pumps out cortisol and epinephrine and all these stress hormones. And again, we go into that fight, flight, or freeze mode. And we can't help but try to focus on ourselves and try to focus on making us safe, making sure we're not kicked out of the tribe. We don't want to be alone, right? Making sure this person comes back to us so we can feel secure. But what happens is that A, it backfires because your spouse, do they really feel like you are respecting them, understanding them, right? And B, it actually doesn't resolve any of the issues between you. So what we want to do is take that pressure off and then get out of that fight, flight, or freeze mode. And this is what we help our clients do. So if you guys want help with that, just comment me and I'll send you a process that's going to help calm the fight, flight, or freeze mode and help you get clarity on how to approach the situation from who you really are. When we're in fight, flight, or freeze mode, that's when we're like, why did I just say that? Why did I just do that? How could I just blow up like that? Or whatever the behavior was, right? How could I just freeze? I didn't even say anything. And like, that doesn't even feel like me. That wasn't even me. You're right. It's not actually you. It's your instinctual biological version of yourself, and not your higher reasoning self. So we help you shift out of that fear response and into your higher response and your reasoning so that you can approach this in a calm, centered manner. So not only you feel better, but it's actually more attractive to your spouse. They will feel better. And they will notice there's something different here, you know, about Cody, about Robert, about Mark, right? And so as they feel that, they're going to be like, oh, there's something different. It's going to get their attention and help them hit that pause button so they no longer feel the need to move further away from you. Okay. And then from there, we're going to create some safety around communication. Right now, if your spouse is pulling away, if they're wanting a divorce, if they're having an affair, communication has not been very rewarding between you. And human beings don't like to do things that aren't rewarding. We want to move away from pain and we want to move towards pleasure. All right. So what we want to do is create safety around communication. And it's going to start slow at first, so that then eventually it can gain the momentum and then go faster. So we have to create safety around communication and find the things that are safe to talk about. One of the first things that we also do with our clients is identify what's the pattern in that you Sorry, what is the pattern that you are in currently with your spouse? So leave a comment, let me know, what pattern are you in with this communication with your spouse right now? When she says, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, how do you respond? What do you do? Do you shut down? Do you push further? Do you get defensive? Do you blow up? Do you tell her, well, how could you not know? You know, how could you have this emotional affair? What is the pattern that you're in right now? Because we are all in a pattern of communicating with our spouse. And we may have been doing this again for weeks, months, sometimes even years. And what we want to do is identify what is that pattern that you're in right now, and then to interrupt that pattern and create a new healthy pattern. As you start to do things in a new way, you're going to start to get some new results with your spouse. It's going to get her attention and she's going to realize, oh, there's something different here with Cody. He's no longer reacting or responding or not responding in the same way. And it's going to create that safety around it. As you get their attention and you create safety through understanding, through even validation, that's going to help her feel safer to open up more and more. One of the worst things that you can do is talk about the relationship when you're at this phase. When you're separated, they're not wanting to address issues. They're not wanting to work on the marriage. They're not wanting to leave their affair partner, whatever the situation might be for you. One of the worst things that you can do is continually pushing, talking about the relationship and talking about those issues. You want to do that again, mostly for yourself. You want to do it because you want this person to come back to you and you want to feel secure. You want to feel like you can get their connection again, so they want to come back. You want to get their commitment so you feel safe. But pushing for connection and commitment too soon and talking about the relationship and talking about all these deeper issues too soon is going to backfire. It's going to backfire. Does this sound familiar? Have some of you guys done this? You pushed talking about the relationship and it didn't go anywhere. In fact, it probably pushed them further away. If so, you're not alone. It's very, very common. So it's like your relationship isn't strong enough at this stage to be able to handle going into those deeper issues. Often relate this like to a medical example, right? It's like if you have a brain tumor, if your patient has a brain tumor and it needs to come out because of all this bad, you know, all this ugly stuff's happening underneath the surface and it's going to destroy the life of this person. But they come into the ER and they're in cardiac arrest. They're having a heart attack. Are the surgeons going to go in and do an operation on the brain tumor right away? No, right? They're going to stabilize the patient and stop the cardiac arrest. That's what we need to do right off the bat, is stabilize the relationship, stop them from pulling away even more, have them hit the pause button, create some stability and some strength in the relationship so that then it's strong enough to handle talking about those deeper issues, resolving those deeper issues, talking about the connection, building connection in the relationship. And the last step is commitment. So you always want to make sure that you are solving problems in order instead of out of order, because that is one of the biggest mistakes that you can make. And here at High Thrive Coaching, we make sure that we solve problems in order. So if you guys want a training that's completely free, I did a masterclass a couple of weeks ago. I'm actually going to be doing another one here tomorrow. So just leave the word PATH in the comments and I'll make sure I get you the link to that replay so you can get the full picture of how the process works. All right, going to go here to the comments. Currently, when she says, I don't know, I back away from the topic and say, as you do, I would love to hear how you feel. Awesome. Yeah, so asking those questions of like, you know, where is that really coming from? What do you mean when you say, I don't know? And you can just say, I don't know. Well, I'd love to get some clarity on it, right? Without pushing, without the agenda of trying to get her to open up. And you can say, I can respect that, but let's get some clarity on what's going on here because we need to resolve this. And we can coach you on exactly how to say that, what to text her, what to say to her, how to have the in-person conversations, and how to know when is the right time to handle the deeper issues. All right. Awesome. See some comments of PATH there. You got it. I'll send it to you guys after this. All right. I'm going to go to Dawn here. Cohab separation going on. Every time we talk about us, my wife seems to want to hold on to my shortcomings in the relationship. She wants to use bad memories to keep her emotionally away from me. Almost as if she doesn't want to heal. She has a negative narrative of our relationship and remembering the past. I just want to talk to process it all. I thought we were on pause, but the pause is really her saying not much at all. All right. So Dawn, you have some good awareness here. I can tell that you've probably been listening to us for a while when you talk about the negative narrative and the pause button. And exactly that, when she is saying, every time you talk about us, she wants to hold on to my shortcomings. So she's using that like deflection of like, this is your fault and you did all these things, and wants to put that on you again, as you said, to keep her emotionally away from you. And that negative narrative in remembering all the past. So what we want to do here, Dawn, is to find where we can create that safety in communication and connection with her. Every time you talk about the relationship, she's just going to bring up all your shortcomings and all the negative things about the marriage. It's too big of a jump. Just like I was telling with Cody and a lot of other people here that are going to relate to this, at the stage that they're in their relationship. You can't get here from here. So talking about the relationship right now is she's going to immediately put that shield back up. She's going to throw that story in your face, and she's not ready to go there. And so what we want to do is create safety in communication, again, by going slow to go fast. Talking about the relationship is backfiring, and it will continue to backfire if you keep doing it. So we can't keep doing the same things and expect different results, right? So we need to start doing new things to get different results. And some of those new things are finding what can you actually talk about that is safe, right? And what are the things that you are both wanting that you can actually agree upon? I love what Mark does here with High Thrive Coaching, because with our clients is that so often you feel like there's nothing that we have in common. There's nothing that we even want anymore. And it's amazing to me, because we will hear about two people that from the outside, that seems so true, right? And when you're living it, I understand it feels so true. They want to be with this other person. They don't even want to be with me. They don't even want to talk about this. They don't even want the relationship. They want a divorce. They want separation. She just sees everything I do as negative. She doesn't want anything that I want, right? And that's the way that it can feel. And that's the way it can even look on the outside. But as we work with you guys and we get down to it, there are things that you are both wanting. How could that be? Because we're all human beings and we actually all want the same basic six human emotional needs. If you guys want a training on that, just say six human needs and we'll go deeper into that in that training. So we have an entire podcast and training on the six basic human emotional needs. So from there, you can say, well, we both want to feel respected. Okay, I want to respect you. And I also want to be respected. And so how can we work together to feel more respect here? How can we create some safety around that? All right, we both want to feel appreciated. How can we work together on that, right? We both want to feel like our kids are prioritized and they're getting what they need. We can both have a common goal about that. How can we work together as a team around our kids being as healthy and happy and functional as possible, right? So there's these areas of common ground. Man, I wish Mark was here, because he has this really great way of saying it. It's like this common ground, but he's got this word and I can't think of it right now, but it's like where we get to come together and this is like neutral ground that we can start to build upon. And so that's where you want to work on things. Okay. As you create that, those common goals, then you're able to find ways to open up and create more safety in the relationship. So my biggest takeaway for you is that you need to stop talking about the relationship. And eventually, as you do that, she's going to feel safer. She's going to feel more respected. You're going to feel more respected because she's not constantly, you know, throwing all your weaknesses and her negative story in your face, right? And then we can start to create home messages that Mark talks about as well to change that negative narrative or that negative belief that she has about you. Start to create a new story of the relationship. And she'll say, oh, wow, Dawn really respects me. Dawn really understands me. I can feel safe with Dawn. I feel respected by Dawn. And I want to be with him, right? And we create that new story and help let go of that negative narrative and belief that she's holding on to so strong. It's always held on to from a place of fear and a desire to protect self from, again, past pain or from the pain of what she's doing, right? And so she doesn't have to feel so much guilt. And when we're driven by fear and pain, we don't always make the best decisions, right? But what we want to do and what we help you do with the PATH process is help your spouse know that it's safe to let go of that story, that they are safe, that you are safe, and that it's safe to let down that wall and to create that new story about each other. I like to call it like you wipe the slate clean and you see each other with fresh eyes. Your spouse is still there. Underneath the pain, underneath the story that they have about you, underneath their destructive behaviors and their painful choices, underneath their addiction to divorce and their addiction to the negative story that they have about you, their addiction to their affair partner and all these other things, they're still there. The person that you loved is still inside of them. Just like the addict, the person that they really are is still underneath the addiction. So we just need to help bring that out and bring out who you really are. So aside the addiction to the drama triangle. Right now in the drama triangle, I'm just going to point it out. You're trying to play the hero mode. You're trying to rescue. You're trying to save things. You're trying to make it better for everyone. And she's the persecutor. And she's saying, you did this. It's all your fault. Look at all the mistakes you did. And it's been so painful for me. It's been so hard for me. And look at all these years. You never listened, right? And she's being the persecutor. And then that can make you feel like the victim. She won't change. She's just blaming me for everything. It's not really all my fault. And there's nothing I can do. And you can feel hopeless. And you can then swing from, I'm going to save the day. I'm going to work on the marriage, to I feel hopeless. And then you might even step into persecutor and you might blame her. And you might say, you need to change and you need to work on things, right? I'm just giving an example here. I don't know for sure that that's what's going on. And so that is how we play in the drama triangle. And what you want to do is take a step out of it. And take accountability. Like, yeah, I do keep talking about the relationship and I am trying to save things. I am trying to rescue things. I am trying to get her back. And I need to take accountability that that's what I'm doing. And I need to start doing things in a new way, create a new reality for the relationship that is free, or is more free, I should say, because I don't know that we're ever 100% free of the drama triangle. It's just so human nature to go there, but more free from that tension and from that pain and all of that cycle, and start to create what you really want to create. So hopefully that was of service to you. Leave a comment and let me know, and we can talk about it more one-on-one. All right, I'm gonna go to some other questions here. Got one from, all right, I got one here from Gerardo. If you have some more details though, that would be great. I'm hearing that she was passive aggressive, gave you the silent treatment and drove me away after 17 years. And so that is the pattern there. Even if you are a persecutor, you can still be a persecutor in a silent, aggressive, passive aggressive kind of manner. And that can also be indicative of a victim as well. They can also give the silent treatment, stonewalling, kind of pulling away and driving you away. You're currently divorced. It's been going on for 2 years. You're living separated. You talk a few times a month. All right. And you're 50 on a level of 1 to 100 about committed to turning the relationship around. All right. I appreciate your honesty with that as well. Most people say they're 100%. And I also understand that after so many years of this going on and so much of this treatment, that it can wear on you and you can start to lose the momentum because it's not a rewarding situation. And sometimes you don't know what to do and everything that you've tried isn't working. So let me know a little bit more about what's going on there and what do you really want to create? Because if you're only a level 50% committed, well, you know, to turning this around, what's holding you back? Is it the past pain? Is it you feel like you don't know how? Is it a limiting belief inside yourself? Like, I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if anything will ever change. Or are you still very much in one of those drama triangle roles? And again, give yourself grace. Maybe you're feeling like a victim. It's hopeless. There's nothing I can do. They need to change. They need to be the one that's willing to change, to come back to me. They need to stop this passive aggressive behavior. It's never my fault, right? Are you saying, you know, like it's, I'm done. I've had it, right? Or are you trying to hero and rescue and you just feel like you're burnt out? Because any of those, when you come from the place of being in the drama triangle and playing any of those roles, it is never going to be that healing, close, respectful, connected, you know, where you can be who you really are and you're loved for who you are, flaws and all, where you have forgiveness, you have grace. It's like standing on a firm foundation. Instead of dancing on hot coals or feeling like the ground is constantly shifting beneath you, being in the drama triangle, even with yourself, if you guys can be self-reflective for a moment, sometimes you can even hear the chatter in your own brain of how you do this to yourself. But even in this relationship with this person, it's going to feel insecure. And when we feel insecure, that's fear. And when we're in fear, we're going to go to those biological responses and we're going to try to grasp desperately to get those needs met, to try to feel secure. We're either going to try to control, manipulate ourselves, We're going to try to withdraw, stonewall, silent treatment, any of those passive aggressive behaviors back. We're going to get defensive. We're going to feel like a victim. We're going to go to hopelessness, anxiety, and depression. All right. And that is where most people live. And that is where most people spend all of their time and energy and experience in a relationship. And to me, that's a tragedy because it doesn't need to be that way. But it's not your fault because you aren't taught how to step out of that triangle, how to create the healthy, beautiful, blissful relationship that is full of grace and forgiveness and compassion. But the good news is that you can learn. You can learn how to get there. You can learn how to set healthy boundaries to stop those destructive, toxic, unhealthy, passive aggressive behaviors that are not serving your relationship. And you can get to a place of wholeness and wellness inside yourself and give your spouse the opportunity to do the same. Now, they may choose to come with you and they may choose not to. At the end of the day, it's really about you and what you want to create in your life. And are you willing to know that you gave your relationship and your partner every chance possible to become healthier, to become better, to become stronger, to invite some grace and some compassion into your experience, into their life and into your life? And they may choose to and they may not. So is it worth it to you for you to learn how to get there and to give your spouse the opportunity? And know that you can have no regrets, that you gave your marriage every chance possible. For me, it's worth everything. So if it's worth it to you, say it. Let me know in the comments. Say it's worth it to me. All right, I'm going to go on to Gary's question here. All right, you've been separated since October 2021, married 33 years. Your wife is now living in her own apartment. Aging parents moved in. We live in different geographic locations, 3 hours apart. Don't know why we were separated. My wife is not a Christian. I am. Parents have an influence on my wife. How do I become emotionally, spiritually, and physically attached to my wife again when I don't believe that she's hit the pause button? All right. I love that question. And I know you sent two, so I'm going to go to the other one, but well, I will go to the other one. And so real quick though, how do you become attached emotionally, spiritually, and physically to your wife again? If she hasn't hit the pause button, you can't get there from there right now. You're not there yet. Like the pause button isn't about creating the emotional, spiritual, and physical attachment yet. That comes later. Okay. That's why we have to go step by step, solve problems in order, because attachment isn't going to come until step three, which is connection, and step four, which is commitment. So you hit the nail on the head that they need to hit the pause button. She's living 3 hours apart in different geographic locations, and that she's very tied to her parents. And so there's going to need to be a process there of having her hit that pause button before you get to that deeper level of spiritual, emotional, and physical connection. And you don't know why the separation has occurred. So I can just imagine you there, like, I don't know why. I don't know why this has happened. Like, what can I do? And you're saying, all I can do now is pray for reconciliation and restoration. And I see that you sent her an anniversary card. So my first question for you is she going to receive an anniversary card well at this time or not? She may, but more often than not, when I talk to couples that are in this kind of situation, it probably isn't going to be received very well. Oftentimes I hear, you know, I'm texting her every day. I'm sending her flowers. I'm sending him our marriage vows and all like our happy days. And I'm going to fight for my marriage, right? And I'm going to do all these positive things. And you may even think that that's the right thing to do, but you don't realize that that may actually be backfiring. Why could that backfire? Right? We always hear fight for your marriage, right? Like work on yourself, meet all their needs, change everything about you that they complained about, right? Work on yourself and all these things, right? And oftentimes you exhaust yourself doing those things. Again, the reason why those things may or may not work, the reason why they don't work is because you're putting potential pressure on the relationship. And your wife may not feel very heard or respected by you in those actions or behaviors. So that is my first question to you. Is that going to be received well? That's a great question for everyone to ask in any of your efforts that you're making. Is this going to be received well? Is this going to be a positive thing? Or is it going to add more fuel to their fire? Is it going to deepen their narrative, their belief, their story that they have about me? Is it going to help her feel heard? Like, oh, wow, Gary really understands that I don't want to talk about the marriage. Gary really respects that I would not appreciate an anniversary card. Now, she may respect it. It may be received well. I don't know. But more often again, at this stage, that is not received well, and it actually will backfire. So I just wanted to point to that. All right. Okay, going through a little more of your question here. There's still little or no communication. All right. Now this part here is when I wanted to address. I think she is wondering why I'm still involved with her former business partner. Okay. And so you're living with your form with, let's see, I am, let me go up a little more. Sorry. I am working and living with a former business partner of hers. And so I'm assuming that this is a woman. That could be a completely false assumption, but based on what you said, I'm reading between the lines here, and you think that maybe Denise is wondering why I'm still involved with her former business partner. So if it is a woman that you are living with, and your wife is like, I think that my husband is involved still with my former business partner, then that is going to become a barrier to her wanting to communicate and wanting to talk with you and understanding why she actually separated from you. Okay. So I would really reconsider that. If you are assuming that she's saying, why is he living with this business partner? Then that may be one of those behaviors, one of the patterns that you're in right now that you can interrupt, that you can take accountability, that this is creating more of a negative belief and a negative story and more barriers between you. So by changing that, that could go a long way to creating safety in the relationship and interrupting the pattern. So she'll consider hitting the pause button. She'll feel like, oh, he's being respectful of me. If she's not okay, it sounds like she's not okay with you living with this person. And I don't know the full details, but perhaps consider changing that might go a long way in demonstrating to her and communicating to her that you are respecting her and that you're creating safety in the relationship and removing that barrier between you. That may free up a lot of emotional space for both of you to then increase the ability to communicate and move forward with reconciliation. All right. And thank you all at High Thrive Coaching for not giving up on marriages, including mine. And you are so, so welcome. Awesome. I continue to listen to your masterclasses with head coach Mark Johnson and the Wonder Woman and Super Mom Heather Cho. Oh, thank you. All right. And then one of the other barriers that I also see between you is that you're living so far apart. So if there is any way to change that in the right time, so it doesn't feel like pressure on the relationship, but that you actually have more opportunity to see each other and to communicate, that again is one of those barriers. If you have too much space, too much physical distance, and not enough opportunity to see each other and connect, that's one of the barriers that we're going to want to work on as well. All right, hopefully that is helpful. All right, Robert asks, what about sending a Mother's Day card thanking her for being a mother to our children? Yeah, so absolutely, as Mother's Day is approaching, that's a great question. And so if you do it from a space of appreciation, of genuine understanding without the pressure to work on the relationship, then that could be well received. So I see that we're going, you know, there's so many things that we can go off into the weeds about. And really that is why we do the one-on-one coaching with you guys, because it's so important to know exactly what will work in your situation. I could give Gary some advice and it might be the wrong thing for you in your situation with your spouse. So I'm trying to keep things kind of general and give you guys the understanding of the principles behind these practices and this method, right? And you guys need to try to sift through that. But the best thing to do is to work with us one-on-one, where we can help you know exactly what is the right thing to do in your situation and what is the wrong thing to do in your situation. So with that being said, if you want a free breakthrough session with us where you meet with one of our coaches and we do a deep dive marriage analysis of your situation, then comment breakthrough in the comments below and I'll get you the link to that. We are almost completely booked out this week though, just as a heads up. So it's first come, first serve for this free marriage analysis where we'll diagnose what's going on in your marriage, prescribe the exact treatment plan to get you where you want to go. Awesome. I am out of time. So thank you guys so much for sending in your questions. If you have more, please leave them. Again, I will read every single comment and do my best to answer every single question that we get. To recap, encourage you guys to really think about what kind of relationship you want to create. How can you be more of a creator? How can you personally take that accountability and step out of the drama triangle that you might be in right now with your spouse? Have you identified what role you tend to play in the most? Leave a comment. Let me know which role it is. Again, we have a training on the drama triangle I can send you. As you free yourself from those patterns of drama and tension and pain, you can then create the relationship that your heart really wants, who you really are, and you can step into your personal power. There is more hope than you can realize when you are in the embodiment of your personal power. And that starts with that accountability, creating the life and the marriage that you really want to see so that you can be loved and accepted and adored and appreciated for who you really are. And that your spouse can be as well, where compassion, grace, and forgiveness are a regular part of your experience so that you can live free from the chains of the past that might be binding you and holding you back. So thank you so much for joining me today. My heart, my love, my appreciation flows out to you. You are amazing and you are deserving and worthy of love. And I cannot wait to see your marriage thrive.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.